Hey there, guys, and welcome to the April 22nd edition of the NFL Sunday Supplement. With me today, we've got Arnie.
Hi, guys.
And Chappers.
Hello.
So, draft is on a Thursday, the first round.
Yeah.
So, I figure that's the obvious starting point for conversation.
So close. It's been a long ass off season. I've been looking forward to this. It's so close.
Yeah, it's been a dead couple of weeks up until, you know, sort of just finalising mock drafts, and it's getting into, I think, over analysis mode for some of the players.
Yeah.
Especially on the older draft channels.
Yeah, I think if we start on the sort of main point of the number one pick is confirmed.
Yeah, well,
so, big surprise.
Yeah.
It's been as good as confirmed since last season anyway. Whoever got that pick was always likely to spend on Andrew Luck.
And that was just 100%.
Yeah. And
dastard.
The number two pick is also as good as done.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill.
I would love to see the reaction in New York City if that was to happen. But anyway, yeah, so we're going to have Robert Griffin pick there. So we'll just quickly go through the rest of the top 10 then. I mean, the next player that we suppose would be picked apparently may not be, and that's Matt Khalil. It seems like a given a couple of months ago.
The GM's just trying to see what he can pull in. It's just a smokescreen just to see what exactly teams are going to offer. They've seen the ridiculous amount that Washington gave up for that number two spot.
Oh, they're not looking. They know they're not going to get that.
Well, you don't know. Teams might get excessively desperate. I mean, look, who's been linked to trade up to at least number four?
I've heard Philly, but I still can't see it.
Kansas as well. They might be looking for someone to challenge Matt Castle.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure the value is there at number three for someone to trade up to that spot. And the Vikings, they'd have to really dislike Khalil, I think, to be seeking so actively to trade down.
No, I don't think anyone really dislikes Khalil, so
I think he's a rock solid prospect. It seems like common sense to me. It's a huge hole on that team. He's definitely better than what they've got.
Definitely.
So it seems like a no-brainer.
I think Christian Ponder would be the angriest man in Minnesota if Khalil wasn't the turn up.
That would be a big disappointment to him, I would imagine. So, I mean, then you've got Cleveland. This is a real tough one.
They hold all the cards now for this at this spot, number four. Where can they go? They've got four options.
Yeah, nothing really leaps out as a must have at this point in time, because you think Richardson's probably the best player on the board.
Yeah,
and if not him, Claiborne. Now you can always do with more corners, but they do have Joe Hayden.
Yeah, and as you pointed out a few weeks ago, you can't, if you draft Claiborne, you're at a risk of paying too high for two top quality corners, which you can't afford to do on a roster.
Thing is though, what would you say like offense or defense would be their stronger side?
Their D is pretty solid as is.
Yeah,
they could probably do with another pass rusher, but there's no pass rusher there.
Keep improving on that defense, then let the offense.
Well, the problem is they need a quarterback, and is Tannehill worth it at this point?
Yeah, exactly. Until that quarterback comes along, you might as well just keep building on that defense, I think. So I think Claiborne would be the smart pickup by then, if I'm in all honesty, for me anyway.
I don't think it will happen though. I think they may go with Trent Richardson.
It's a safer pick. The wide receiver depth in this draft is so much stronger than the running backs. Take the best available running back and then get a guy later on. Get someone like Kendall Wright or your Stephen Hills.
Blackman's stock seems to have taken a big hit, which is a surprise to me because I still think he's going to be a really good player in the league. And all these questions, they seem to be about his size because you see no real issues with him on tape at all. No. So I think it's a bit unfortunate. I think he'd be a great pick for them. They're desperate for a receiver, and as good as I think Richardson will be, you can get a better running back later on in the draft than you can a receiver in all likelihood. I mean, there's not a lot of receivers you look at in this year's draft that you think they can come in and play straight away and contribute, especially being a number one guy, which is what Cleveland absolutely needs.
Yeah.
And a number two guy. They could probably do with a number three as well.
Yeah, but it's the value though. Is Blackman really worth a four over Richardson when you can have, when you've got the option? I think Richardson screams more safe at you.
Well, he does, because I think you probably get that from the running back position. But running backs are easier to find in later rounds. There's not that many receivers with Blackman's ability that are just lying out there undiscovered. So I really, really just go with the tape on Blackman. I think he makes a lot of sense, but I don't necessarily see it happening. I think Richardson likely will be the pick.
Okay, with Richardson off the board at number 4, where do we go with Tampa Bay?
It's got to be Claiborne. I think it's either him or Richardson have got to be the two highest rated players on the board at two positions of need. If Richardson's gone, the decision becomes that much easier.
Yeah.
The secondary's a mess.
Arnie, what about yourself? Do you think Claiborne will go to the Browns?
I think, personally, yeah, I'm going to stick with what I said. I think Claiborne will go to the Browns.
So who did the Bucks pick then?
Trent Richardson. I think they need that guy either behind Blunt or starting in front of Blunt.
He'd start in front of Blunt.
Yeah.
You'd have to think.
I mean, he dropped off last year a lot. Okay, the team wasn't great last year in the general prospect of things, but you've got to be sitting there thinking, is Blunt going to carry on doing that? Do you take the risk with Blunt? Because he was good in his rookie year.
Well, the problem you get with Blunt is the mistakes that he made last year were the big ones, the fumbles.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need that.
He's not an asset in the passing game, so, you know, if you're not going to be useful in the pass game, you better be a real efficient, good runner.
This year, I mean, you've got Vincent Jackson, you've got.
Yeah, but you have to bear in mind this was one of the worst teams in the league last year. They were really, really poor.
The Patriots, they was the worst team last year, and they made it to the Super Bowl.
They have Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, but if you've got all the pieces there.
I don't think Josh Freeman's in a position to go toe-to-toe with some of the elite quarterbacks.
I think you just give Josh Freeman
no,
more
I think
to work
you're in
with.
The NFC South, and at the minute, you've got Talib is the one corner you know is a pretty good player. You don't know if he's going to be playing next year, and the team's apparently looking to trade him.
Yeah.
You've got 37-year-old Rondé Barber and no one else. You get the option of Claiborne, you have to go with him. Have to. There's some good passing attacks in
that. I don't think Claiborne will be there. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I think Claiborne will already be gone.
If that's the case, then...
you pick up Trent Richardson and you give Josh Freeman more to work with.
I would agree Richardson would be the pick in that scenario.
I think you guys just need to give Freeman more to work with and give that offense more of a dynamic.
They've given him more to work with.
But this year, they've got a lot.
I think given the option, I think if Claiborne and Richardson were both there, I think you guys would go Richardson purely off the Garrett Blunt. Because you notice a few weeks ago, Blunt said, I'd absolutely hate this pick if we pick Richardson at number five.
And now
he's changed his tune
okay
now, and he's like, yeah, I'd welcome you as a teammate. Do you reckon your coach has had something to do with that? And said, hey man, come on. We might have this guy on this team. You need to say nice stuff.
I doubt it, but you never know. It's a crazy old league. Right, so we'll move on then from Tampa. Definitely those two. No surprises for either of you.
Richardson or Claiborne, either one.
Right, so then the Rams, in this scenario, do you think that it's a given that they go Blackman?
Yeah.
Yeah, best receiver or best running back, whoever's available there. So, Blackman, Richardson. Don't see Richardson getting past 5, so yeah, Blackman.
I think so. I think I had Blackman in the last mock going to Cleveland.
And what have they got receiver-wise to help out Sam Bradford?
Nothing.
Exactly.
I would agree in this case. I gave him Fletcher Cox last time, and I think he will get a lot of consideration, especially if Blackman isn't rated that highly. In fact, I think if Fletcher Cox is, you know, considered the better prospect, they'll go with him. Whoever they have higher on
the board. Either way, they're going to go for a receiver. They need to
at some point
Bradford
in the draft,
something.
Obviously, they need a couple of guys, not just one.
Yeah.
So
all in agreement there.
Yeah.
Receiver.
They've invested too much in Bradford. They need more production out of him. Give him help.
Yep. Yeah. So next up, it's the Jags.
Yeah, the Jacksonville Jags. I think personally they're going to trade this pick away.
I think they'll try, but I'm not so sure.
I think a team will get desperate and should get in there for Ryan
Tannehill.
Yeah, I think I think Kansas will do it. I strongly think Kansas will be the ones who do it.
Well, it's plausible. Castle has certainly not set the world on fire in his time there, but I just don't see it.
It doesn't seem like the
sort of thing Kansas City would do.
Hey, we never thought Atlanta would trade that high up to grab a receiver. last year. So
I know, true. I know last time you had I think Melvin Ingram going to the Jags at this point.
I believe so.
I actually agree with that now. They do need some pass rush.
I'd hate that pick. I'd hate it if Ingram went there.
I'd hate to face Ingram two times.
I want Ingram for the Finns.
See, I'm not so sure with Ingram though. His stock does seem to have fallen a bit in the last couple of weeks. I'm not entirely sure why, but I don't think any of the pass rushers stand out to me enormously this year. I don't think it's a great year. There's no one guy that you can look at and say there's consistency throughout the college career and all the stuff that translates.
Yeah, but he hasn't got the attitude issues that Quinton Coples or Dontari.
Well, Coples is an issue, I think. You just never knew what you were going to get. You can see like the size and speed is there. He's a specimen, but yeah, I wouldn't be happy with taking Coples high up. I think the Jags probably go with something a bit safer. I've heard a lot of Stephon Gilmore going there. Apparently they fell in love with him, and I've heard that they even have him rated above Claiborne, which I find somewhat hard to believe. That's but impressive. The Jags have done this before. They traded up for Blaine Gabbert, which, alright, that doesn't look really good right now. And they picked Aluwalu way before people saw him coming off the board. So I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, you could be right there, but I do see them going for that sort of. I do see them going for pass rush.
Fair enough.
They do need it.
So you guys both still see Ingram?
I now see Ingram going there. I've changed from my last opinion.
Best case, I'll see him going O line to help out Gabbert a little bit more. Worst case, me on a personal note, is them picking up Ingram.
The Gilmore thing doesn't make much sense to me, but this is the kind of thing when everyone sort of catches on that this team really likes this guy, then the odds are they probably do.
Yeah.
Because it's not like any other team is going to. I can't see any other team thinking, yeah, we're going to take him at this point. Because the Dolphins aren't going to be looking at corner next, nor will a couple of. Yeah, he's been spoke about before, what, early 20s, late teens? So we'll see. I wouldn't be shocked though. So then, after that, we'll let you go ahead. It's the Miami Dolphins at 8.
Just about everyone in the world has was taking Texas A&M quarterback Ryan Tannehill. I'm not completely sold. Not at this position.
I'm not sold.
Second round, lovely, but not with the not with the quarterbacks that are in this draft. It's not going to happen. Tannehill will go somewhere.
Where would you like to see yourself going?
I'd like to see us pick up pass rush, because Cameron Wake needs it. He really does need someone to compliment him. But then again, we have other screaming needs. We do need a quarterback to develop. We do need a receiver. I'd actually be really happy with Floyd.
But
I don't know if we value Floyd that high.
And I'm not sure after Brandon Marshall you go after someone who had character concerns in college.
And also we picked a receiver high up before in Ted Ginn, and look how that turned out.
Yeah.
Turned out to be one of the high
That was a bizarre pick. It's okay, you got highest, the whole Ted Ginn family, man.
Highest picked punt return and kick returner I've seen in a while.
You got Christ. The whole Ted Ginn family, remember?
Oh, woo.
Yep. That's one of my favourite press conferences.
My favourite were the fan reactions that I saw. There was a video on YouTube of a load of Miami fans out in a big open screen, and you could see them all. There was actually a few with signs saying, "We love Brady Quinn." And then they showed the Ted Ginn pick, and I've just never seen mouths drop so quick.
Well, to be fair, Ted Ginn has done more than Brady Quinn in his NFL career.
Oh yeah, I actually quite like Brady Quinn's little reaction to it as well. It was sort of a little, oh really? they both suck.
As I said, with the Browns, I think you're going to go with where your strongest side lies, and I think that's in within your defence. I reckon you're going to go pass rush as well.
Yeah, but what player? Who?
I'm not.
We've been
sure
talked. With Coples been
maybe,
talked about a lot.
Maybe Coples. Maybe I'm not completely sure, but I see you going in that sort of direction.
Yeah,
don't know whereabouts, but
yeah, I'd like to think we'll help out with a bit more pass rush. Hopefully not Coples though, because I don't want another lunatic on the team.
I can't
maybe
see
if Ingram does drop, then maybe
if Ingram drops, I'd love to take him. I'll take him in a shot.
I can't see Stephen Ross not taking Tannehill.
Really?
I just can't see it happening. I really can't see it happening.
Yeah, but...
Not anymore. I don't know why.
No offence to Ryan Tannehill, he's not going to sell... He's not going to sell tickets. He's not going to put bums on seats right now. And that's what Stephen Ross wants.
Well, he doesn't have that option.
That was proven over the summer. Look at the quick fixes he tried to bring in.
Well, we'll see. So we'll move on then.
Yeah, let's move Carolina. On before I get depressed.
Yeah. Carolina, this is a bit of a tough one.
Because
they have a lot of needs still.
Too many.
And I went with Floyd last time, and I'm kind of sticking by that. I still think it's kind of a bit of a wild card pick, but I can see it happening. And it makes some sense to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's mainly bearing in mind Steve Smith's age. I mean, he's 32 now. He's not going to keep going forever. And they could do with another guy now, because who else do they have? Legadou Nane, Brandon LaFell.
No, we've got Legadou Nane.
Really? Yep. They don't even have Legadou Nane. Yeah, no, he's one of their better receivers.
Yeah, we picked him up.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's not much in Carolina at the position.
No.
He could replace Steve Smith in the end.
Never know. Makes a lot of sense to me. Cam Newton could throw to himself.
Yeah.
He seems to think he can do just about everything.
Yeah, he is a rather smug fellow, it turns out.
We'll get on to that later on.
Well, I just think with how appalling their D was last year, especially their run defence, I see him.
I think they'll be confident enough that just get with the two rookie DTs that they should theoretically be better with a training camp and some experience. And they get Beeson back, and they get Thomas Davis back off of an injury. So, you know, that should be enough to improve the D theoretically. I just think they go with, as you've said, they go with the strength, and it's a huge need, I think, that's kind of understated just because
for
of
me
Smith
as well
there.
I see just a lot of teams this year, especially in the first round, going with where their strength lies. I mean, as it gets later on in the draft, towards your 15 upwards picks, I see just teams strengthening up areas they need to. But for these, like, say, like 1 to 15 picks, I just see them going with where their strengths are and building on that. Because that's what those teams need. They need to build on what they've got.
I think you've got to go for the best player available if you don't have much. Exactly. You've got a huge amount of needs, you take the best player available. I think, though, Floyd will be highly rated, and I think they'll look past the character issues. So I'm going with that. Where are you, Chappers?
Originally I had him going interior line and taking big Dontari Poe, but with his stock dropping immensely, I think they'll go wide out.
Fair enough.
Give Steve Smith a bit of a break. Give Cameron Newton a new weapon.
Yeah.
And then Buffalo.
That's where it gets tricky, because from there, I have no idea.
I don't know
where they'll go.
I've heard Riley Reiff a lot, and I think it's probably the way they go. They could do with another tackle. They got some young guys there, and they've been unlucky with injuries on the O-line, but you can always do with more. I think Reef's a good player. They can plug him in right away, and he'll step in, be an improvement over what they have.
He does look like one of those players that should be playing for like Buffalo, Green Bay or Houston, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Whereas Riley Reiff.
I think he'll be a good one for him. I can't see him looking anywhere else.
I can't personally say on the Bills. They could go in a lot of places.
Look, last year their main needs were on the O-line and a bit more pass rush. Now, they'll get the pass rush, theoretically, with Carl Williams coming back and Mario Williams. I think O-line makes the most sense, and he's one of the best players on the board at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, I agree with that. Take Riley Reiff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting draft. After that, who knows where players will go. I mean, I think David DeCastro is the one I'll be interested to see, because I think he's probably one of the top five prospects in the draft, but he plays guard, so that obviously means he will be available to a lot of teams, and there's a lot of teams that need O-line help in the next few picks. So I could see him in Dallas, I could see him in Zona,
even Seattle,
who knows.
I'll be looking for a few of my Miami Hurricanes boys. Lamar Miller, I'm interested to see where he goes. I actually think the Bengals might try and grab him somewhere.
I think he'll go sort of top of the second.
And I'd like also much Rams. Later round pick Tommy Streeter.
Well, he's fast, he's big.
Very, very raw. Very raw.
Yeah, very young as well, so yeah. You never know.
No, I'm just interested to see where he turns up.
Fair enough. It's going to be an interesting day, I suppose, with the trades will be the main things people will be looking out for. There's usually a couple.
For me, obviously, Titans fan, got quite a late pick in this year's draft. I'm still wondering where we... I know we're going on defence, that's an obvious one. But there's options now where we could go.
Mm.
Because we brought in a couple of pass rushers, defensive ends. So do we go that direction now? I'm not sure we will. For me, one player that recently has just started standing out for me is Dont'a Hightower. Because we do need to fill that void in the linebackers.
Well,
a lot of people see us going corner, but I'm confident in my cornerbacks because people don't forget Finnegan played in the slot last year. Werner and McCourty playing out on the wide.
He was good against the run, so they were more willing to go to that.
Yeah,
package.
So bring in a linebacker that's going to help stop the run a lot more. Then we've kind of filled that gap already.
Well,
it's done. The linebacker situation's done. Personally, that just seems right for me. I do see him going around there anyway.
Yeah,
it just seems right to me. I think
he's
picked up a lot of interest
on the rise as well. But I don't know. I still think linebacker is a position that they won't be looking at in that range. I just think if it was like, you know, they're a 3-4 team, they need the pass rusher maybe.
Yeah.
But
that's
I'm
I
not sure even corner. I still think the interior of the O-line is something they'll be looking at regardless of how little interest has been raised.
Yeah, but I see us going that in the second, maybe third round, just picking up. I think we're happy with what we got. Maybe just getting some guys and training them up for like years to come.
Yeah.
I think we'll end up doing that sort of a thing and, as I say, pick up where we need.
Fair enough.
Majorly at the minute.
I mean, there have been a few teams mentioned in trade talks. Eagles have been one of them, but
with Asante, yeah.
Yeah, not just that, apparently trading up. Rumours are they do quite like Tannehill. I don't see it happening though.
No, that's a definite no for me. That's not going to happen. They're happy with Vic.
Vic is simply that he gets injured a lot and he is up there in age. I think if he gets injured again this year, they will consider releasing him because he does miss a very large amount of games.
Tannehill's not the answer.
Well, you never know. A couple of years behind the quarterback, the main issue I have is if he goes to somewhere in the top 10 and they're poor, he's going to have to be forced to play.
Yeah.
Whereas in Philly, he might get a couple of years to sit, and it's a fairly decent side around him. If you throw him into Cleveland week one, then I don't think he's realistically got a good shot.
No.
So.
Also, there is something I also want to point out. Say if Tannehill drops to us at 8 and we don't take him. Does that say quite a lot about Tannehill's capability of becoming a franchise quarterback because we have got his old Texas A&M coordinator with us?
Quite possibly.
So that could say quite a lot about him.
But there are teams just below Miami where, you know, they can afford to take a flyer on a quarterback, I think, a bit more than the team in the top 10. You look at maybe Seattle, you know, if they're not convinced by Flynn. They didn't give him a huge contract, so you don't know what's going to happen there. The Chiefs, they could. So even Arizona, you never know.
Well, I think if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm absolutely praying that if I fall to Miami at number 8 that I get picked, because otherwise it could be a long draft.
It could well be, but I'd figure someone will take a shot on him. He does have a lot of the physical tools you look for, so he's still a better prospect than any of the other remaining guys in the draft. I mean, Brandon Whedon's the interesting one to me, but
yeah, the guy who actually managed to beat Locke and Griffin.
Yeah, and who knows where he's going to go. 28 years old is certainly an interesting one.
Hmm.
But does that make him more ready to start?
Who knows, yeah. Might make him a little bit more mature, but
yeah, you'd certainly worry about sitting him for a couple of years and then bringing in your 30-year-old with no starting experience. That would be a bizarre thing to see. Who knows?
It has to be somewhere where he can compete. Can compete early.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, either way, it's going to be an interesting draft.
Yep, I can't wait for it. I'm sure everybody else can.
Well, we'll be recording it live, so you guys can check in for that next week. It's certainly going to be something.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows how that one's going to turn out. But I suppose the other big bit of news this week, the schedule's finally been released.
Yeah.
It all makes it seem so much more real now that it's there in front of you.
Yeah, it does. We finally got something to either look forward to or dread.
Well, I've got many dates circled already. I mean, week one for me, biggest game easily, the Niners Packers.
That is going to be an incredible game. I cannot wait.
The NFC Championship game I wanted, and it's going to be something to watch. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Willis, you know, best offense in the league versus the best defense in the league, in my opinion.
It's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, Lambeau. Oh, it's going to be it's going to be a superb one.
My one, I'm looking forward to the Steelers Broncos.
Yeah.
Obviously, Broncos were the ones that knocked the Steelers out, but now they come back.
Yeah, the Steelers.
With Peyton Manning.
Steelers want revenge, but the Broncos have Manning. Manning's not played in a while.
Obviously, that's going to be a good one to watch.
I like the idea of angry Peyton Manning with a point to prove. So that'll be something. And what a great way to start the season with the Giants and Dallas.
Yeah, on the Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend. I mean, let's go through all the matchups, give a brief overview of some of these teams' schedules.
So we'll start with the Giants, Cowboys.
Yeah, Giants have a fairly comfortable start. I think they'd be happy with the Giants being at home for the first two. They've got the Cowboys, of course. Considering you know you're getting a big game week one if you're the defending champs for that Thursday night game, they weren't going to get one of the teams on the schedule that they have no affiliation to. So they've got to be happy. It could have been something far more difficult. It could have been the Packers.
Yeah.
And then they got the Buccaneers in week two, so they'll probably be looking at that one and thinking we should win that, especially at home. Panthers after that.
Yeah.
So they could potentially get off to a 3-0 start. Could be interesting.
Then go to the Eagles in week four, that would just be an interesting match.
I think that would be their slip up, the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to have a better year.
It'll be a tough game.
Well, they have an off season this year.
Yeah, as well. Yeah,
that's what you got to remember with this year. Everyone has an off season.
They'll have an off season. They'll be better blooded. Hopefully, Vic can stay fit.
Yeah, and I'd favour them against the Cowboys all day. I don't trust Romo in that situation. First of all, he always seems to wilt when the pressure is biggest, and that's a big game. And as well as that, I believe in Eli. I think that offense is going to come out and be really, really consistent next season. Hakeem Nicks should be healthier. Victor Cruz will have a year in the system. I think they're going to be really good. So I think they've got a nice start to the year. They'll be very happy with it. I expect them to beat the Cowboys.
I expect them to beat the Cowboys, but the Cowboys' first four games, they've obviously, to the Giants, I expect them to lose. Then week two they have the Seahawks, so it should be an easy ride for them. And then with the Buccaneers in week three,
they could get off to a good start. And you never know, the Giants game, that NFC East is always,
never know, the Cowboys could be the one that start off 3-0.
Those teams always take games off each other regardless of how good each may be, and they will still be a solid team. There's still a lot of talented players on that roster. The Seahawks, you'd think they'll probably have too much for, and then their first home game will be against the Buccaneers, and who knows what they're going to look like. But you'd think that you can get off to a good start with that.
Yeah.
And then the Bears in week four will be a tough one. That's a first real test outside of the Giants. But again, you go 2-1 game against the Bears. Who knows? They're just such a flaky team. You just don't know what you're going to get from them.
Exactly.
But you could probably make the argument about most of the NFC East to some degree.
Yeah.
Then you've got the Andrew Luck debut as well against the Chicago Bears.
You never know. They might not think he's ready. I doubt it. But
who have they got? But they've re-signed Curtis Painter.
campaign.
Yeah, do you really think they're going to start? All right,
yeah. So it's going to be Andrew Luck then versus the Bears at Soldier Field. You'd have to figure the Bears should be able to get that one. Should be as not really the way you want to start your NFL career, up against Julius Peppers.
No.
Lance Briggs.
I mean, he's gonna get hit hard.
He's gonna have a tough one, as well as that. You know, he doesn't have a huge amount around him that.
Colts have got a very, very early bye as well.
Yeah.
Week 4 bye.
Hey, they could do with it.
What is the point in having a bye week right there?
I have no
idea. You've got such a big off season, and you play what, 3 games, and you've got a week off. What's the point?
I think week 6 to me would make sense to be the time to start them, because I think the Buccaneers are in week 5. Yeah, start week 6. That makes a lot more sense, but you know, that could be just the right time for them. They're going to struggle again next year, the Colts, so
yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, after the once it got past the initial nightmare of the Bears, they've got the Vikings, and then they've got the Jags, and then it starts getting tricky. You've got the Packers and the Jets back to back, maybe a fairly easy-ish one against the Browns, then it gets tough again, the Titans,
but I don't think they're expecting to compete for a division title next year.
I'm looking at that one.
Their
it's the first time we meet up
at
with
the
them
moment.
And I see that one as a win for us, really.
Yeah, I think
they're going to struggle. We start off very, very rough.
Well, we'll
get
to that eventually.
Yeah.
I know you want to moan about.
Yes, I
how
do.
You got shafted by the league schedule, man.
Yes,
but
I think they'll only I think they'll only get about 4 wins next year. I think they'll get 2 early ones against the Vikings and the Jags.
But looking at the end of their season.
Well,
facing the Titans, Texans, Chiefs, then the Texans again. The Texans.
Well, it'll likely be irrelevant
weeks.
For them by that point, unless Andrew Luck does turn out to have a phenom season. But he doesn't have much help, and I have no idea what
that
D's
that could just help
like.
The Texans win it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the Dean Indy next year.
Yeah.
The Chuck Pagano scheme. It'll be a lot much different from what they've actually done. So. That'll be something. The Bears, you know, should have an easy week 1 win. Whether Brandon Marshall is allowed to play or not, we'll see.
No, I think
I'd
he's,
be shocked
think,
if he
I've,
doesn't
I've,
get something.
I've heard he'll miss like the first 6 to 8 games, maybe more.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a minimum of 4, I'd figure. And who knows how many it could be, but yeah, you know, they've got a fairly comfy one. Then every team's got their prime time games this year, so we get a Thursday nighter in week 2, which is going to be odd. But I can deal with it when it's Packers-Bears.
Packers-Bears is always a good one.
That'll be a good one. And then they got the Rams, and then they got the Cowboys. So, not the most difficult
start. 2-2.
Well, the Cowboys-Bears.
Maybe 3-1.
Could go either way. You worry without Brandon Marshall, is it going to be that same old Bears offensively?
Yeah, it's going to be.
Where it's just Forte and Cutler and. Not
well,
much
got,
else.
They've got Bush now as well, so they can rotate their running backs. Slightly.
Yeah, will the O-line be better? I mean, it showed a bit of improvement last year, but it's still probably not a position I'd be happy with.
I could probably play in that Bears O-line and improve it slightly.
They weren't so bad last year. They got there in the end, and they'll get Gabe Kareemi back, but I still would not be too confident with them. But, you know, the Rams, I don't expect much from next year. They'll probably be competitive because Jeff Fisher seems to do that. I mean, even when the Titans were bad, they were competitive with everyone, it seemed. Just one of those kind of teams. But I expect a lot from Chicago. I thought they were really good last year, and the injuries just ended their season. With Marshall, they could be quite scary.
Alright, and then we've got probably one of the worst games. Hey, start with Jaguars.
How can
Vikings.
You say that? This is Blaine Gabbert versus Christian Ponder.
There you
this
go.
This is
you've
poster child of the NFL stuff right here.
No. You're getting it all wrong. It's Mojo versus Adrian Peterson.
Exactly. This will have fantasy implications everywhere.
Yeah. All this game is going to be is rushing. That's it.
Yep, you'd expect so. But they're both pretty good D's against the run.
Yeah.
The Vikings front 7, they're not very good at the whole coverage thing, but the rest of it they do pretty well.
From last year, you've got to expect the Vikings.
That could go
it.
Either way.
For me,
you don't know what you're going to get from either.
I know this is a
Blaine
long time
Gabbert
away, but
was Vikings. No, Blaine Gabbert was so bad last year. I'd have to go with the Vikes.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to go with
and the Ponder impressed me. You never know, he could do a bit more next year. At least they've got a weapon in Sydney Price. This isn't 2010. Yeah, they got a weapon in Harvin, so
yeah,
that's one more weapon than the Jags have, frankly.
Yeah, it's true.
Alright, let's look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, see how many, see if anywhere they can actually pick up a win. Let's see.
Does anyone actually believe in Blaine Gabbert at all? Because I'm ready to wash my hands of him.
I'll wash them after this draft. If they don't pick any offensive weapons that I believe can benefit Gabbert, yeah. I don't.
Hey, he's
I'll
got this year.
Hands.
If he's as poor as he was last year, they should just give up on him.
He's got an off season. He'll have an off season.
Hey, I feel bad. He's not got much help, but still.
I mean,
he was really, really.
I suppose
poor.
He couldn't do much.
He
worse.
Did not look like an NFL quarterback.
He can't do much worse, and he has got Chad Henne behind him. So it kind of does. At least the owners have said,
rough.
"Yeah, we're going to stick with you for another
yeah,
year."
Yeah, well, he probably doesn't have to worry about, you know, the guys turning up in Chad Henne jerseys week one.
No.
Looking at the Jags' first four games, if this was the Titans, I'd be very, very happy with this first four games.
Not everything's about the Titans, man.
We're in the same division.
Yeah, and you play pretty much the same teams at some
point.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. That's what I meant. If we had this.
Yeah, well, the Vikings, and they face
because
the Texans,
the
it's going to be tough.
But because it's the Jags, the first four games for them actually looks quite rough.
The Texans and Bengals are both good sides. They'll be tough.
Yeah.
The Colts and Vikings, well, you know, could go either way.
Yeah.
They're going to struggle next year. I think it doesn't really matter what order they play teams in. That's the thing.
That's true.
Schedule matters more when you're competitive. You know, they'll probably be happy with a couple of wins out of that. At least they'll get some pressure off of Blaine Gabbert, who is probably going to have a fairly warm seat if they're 0-4 or 1-3 at that point.
Yeah.
Because the D is good there. And obviously, Jones Drew is a superstar, so it's down to him. See what happens.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for the Vikings now, though they're opening a few games.
Well, people will find out if they can stop the run when they play the Jags. But, I don't know, the Colts is probably the one other game there that's not too appealing. I'm not sure that, though Adrian Peterson, you could see gashing Colts D's of years past. Who knows how they'll look this year?
Win their first four or five games.
The Niners is going to be tough.
They're not going to beat the Niners.
And the Lions will
be
tough.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a rough year for the Vikes. It's a tough division they're in. I just can't see them finishing anywhere but bottom in that division.
Nah. Yeah.
I like Ponder, but he doesn't have the weapons. The O-line's got to start getting younger and better. And they're going
to
have a tough year.
This is why you need to draft Khalil.
Yes. Precisely, but apparently they don't believe in him. We'll see how that goes, though. Still, not the toughest start. You never know. They could surprise the Lions. I'm still not convinced by the Lions, in all honesty.
This is a game I'm really looking forward to. Bills at Jets. Seeing that new
pass rush
versus Mark Sanchez
slash Tim Tebow.
Yeah,
will
the chance for Tebow start when Williams and Darius come for him? I don't know. I think the Bills are a bit of a dark horse next year. I think
they'll have
Fred Jackson healthy. I think CJ Spiller will contribute a bit more.
I'm frightened by him. Their defense looks brilliant. I like the way Fitzpatrick played last year.
It slowed down at the end of the year, but you never know.
They
lost Fred Jackson. That was a huge part of what they did offensively.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
I used to laugh at the Bills quite a lot. I'm not now.
It's the glorious uniforms. They make you take them more seriously than in years past.
Oh, shut up about this bloody uniform.
They're glorious, man. Just because you wear, what is it, aqua?
Aqua, yes.
Aqua and orange is...
We can get away with it.
Yeah. Going for that whole tropical thing. It's just not great.
Of course, man. We have to ugly out our opponents.
Well, we used to go for that approach as well.
Winnable first three games for the Bills.
Yes.
Jets, Chiefs and Browns. I think they'll win all three of them. Then it gets tough.
Yeah, the Pats will be the interesting test, as always, for the Bills.
Well, they did beat the Patriots last year.
And you don't know what the Chiefs are going to look like next year. I like some of the moves they've made, but Romeo Crennel and Matt Cassel doesn't strike me is a recipe for success, to be honest. Who knows though, Jamal Charles and Eric Berry were massive losses last year, as was Tony Moriarty, and they still finished with an okay record, and they're possibly three of the best players on that team. Yeah,
completely forgot about him.
Yeah, I don't forget these things. It was a tragic loss. He had a great rookie season.
No, it was a lot looking
at him. Yeah, losing him and Jamal Charles is huge for him. So, but they need to do something to replace Castle. We'll probably get to that later. So yeah, the Bills could get off to a nice start, you'd figure. And then you've got
the New York Jets.
The Jets, who you'd figure have to get off to a good start, because you know the media will be all over them otherwise.
Sanchez has to get off to a good start.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They invite pressure on themselves as well. There are some mean D's early on for them to face.
They've got the Bills, then the Steelers, they've got the Dolphins, the 49ers, then the Texans, and then maybe they'll get a win against the Colts.
Yeah, they have a fairly mean start to the year.
They have the potential to go 0-5.
Yeah, well, they've got to deal with some pass rushes, and I always worry about pass rush when I've got Sanchez. So, yeah, it's going to be a rough start. The Steelers is... I could not see Sanchez beating the Steelers. Who knows, we may have the Tebow chance quite early this year.
Well, with the look of the whole of the Jets'
schedule, I don't see them winning a lot next year.
Well, I don't know. Pass number 10 doesn't look that bad.
Yeah, well, once they get off the bye, they've got a fairly soft part of the schedule because they play a lot of the NFC West.
I see them coming out with maybe 6 wins.
Possibly. It's going to be a competitive division. I mean, if the Bills are good and the Dolphins improve, then there's going to be a fight in that division, because none of the other behind the Pats, the other three don't stand out.
No,
I've got to be honest. So,
to be honest, we're just waiting for Brady to retire. Once he retires, then we believe.
Yeah, then the division becomes more interesting. Yeah. Let's face it.
Okay, Dolphins Texans.
Yeah.
What can I say? I don't like this.
Yeah, it's not the easiest start. I think the Texans are going to be a very tough team next year. They've lost some pieces, but they've still got a rock solid roster. Don't have a lot of holes. And they could look even better after the draft.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a second year JJ Watt who played really well.
That was an amazing turnaround from Wade Phillips.
But if you get going early and you do beat the Texans, that helps us out.
Well, let's
have
a look.
We'll have a better start than we did last year. We couldn't have got off.
Well, it's a manageable early schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the Texans is tough, but the Raiders, the Jets, the Cardinals, that shouldn't strike fear into any fan.
It's the Bengals. I don't like the look of them. It's going to be an interesting game against the Bengals, especially if they have a good draft.
Yeah, but, you know,
I think it's potentially with your first 6 games, you could start off 4-2. That's a good start.
That'd be nice.
That's a good, nice start.
Hey, they'd take that
even after your bye week.
Most Miami fans would take 3-3, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm looking forward to the easy wins against the Jaguars and the Colts, and the one game we'll probably win against the Jets.
I see you
and
having
the one at the Rams on my birthday, October 14th.
Well,
I see you having a winning record next year.
Who's going to be catching the ball at Miami though? That's the worry.
Yeah.
Legadu Nani. I love that guy's name.
I think it'll be all.
It's certainly something.
Well, it'll be a Reggie Bush show next year.
The way Philbin said, he wants to spread the ball across his wide receiving core.
Wait.
So basically, it's going to be more even for the likes of Hartline, Bess. Bush is going to have a bigger say in the receiving game. Got Nani. Hopefully, we'll bring someone in the draft as well. That'd be nice.
Well, we'll see.
Otherwise, we'll probably just be running the ball all the downtime. We've got Bush, Thomas, Slayton, and the new guy from the Canadian League, whose name eludes me every time.
Yeah, that's like the third or fourth time you've tried to talk about him and never quite got his name. But, you know, and the Texans, I thought they were a very good side last year. I've said a couple of times that, well, before a couple of losses, I thought they had the best roster in the AFC. It's still up there, and it probably will be after the draft, and I think, I look at their early schedule, they can take control of that division potentially.
Yep, especially with their first 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, you'd favour them over the Dolphins at home. They should beat the Jags. Broncos, yeah, you never know. Could go either way, assuming Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning, and then the Titans, well.
Could go either way.
That looks like it's going to be the division battle, if any, in that there over that, their next
year. Yeah, that
year,
could be
so.
The division already in week four.
Well, they could take control, but you never know. I think they're going to be a good side, though. I can't see them falling off too much. I think offensively, you look at the weapons. If Shaub stays healthy, they're fine there.
They've got an easy last three games.
Yeah, they've got three easy wins right at the bat. They've got the Colts twice and they've got the Vikings.
Yeah, that's quite a nice run to have.
Yeah,
that's
pretty much
giving
them the schedule.
Well,
and
yeah,
the playoffs with three wins in a row would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how that goes for them. But yeah, I think they'll be up there by the end of the season.
And now I get to rant and rave.
Patriots Titans.
Yeah, that's an interesting start.
Why did we have to start off with angry Tom Brady? Of all the teams.
Well, last time Tom Brady came off a Super Bowl loss, he blew out his knee.
I would love to kill Tom Brady.
Really? That's just mean. Some people like watching Tom Brady.
I don't care.
If you're outside of our division.
Our conference.
Well, yeah, well, you got to think Pats, they're going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. They're going to be favourites against most sides. I don't see many teams stopping their offence next year, and early on you'd favour them against the Titans.
I think they will win
the Cardinals.
Those games
against the Ravens, that could go either way. That would be a good one. It's at Baltimore as well. Makes it more interesting.
I've
then
said
the Bills.
many of times, and this is not me just being biased now. I know I'm going to obviously say this because I'm a Titans fan, but given how the Titans started off last year with our offense, and given the fact we might be able to get CJ going this year, might be able to, and if we do, and we have that passing game, and if that Pats D is as awful as it was last year, we are at home to the Patriots. We've got a good, nice record at home.
Well,
so
the Titans play everyone close, and you never know. But you can't not go with the Pats in theory.
Oh no, you can't not go with the Pats, but that could still potentially go either way, given that we have a D and they don't.
Oh, see, but
I'd love to see you guys
knock off the Patriots
in week one, but unfortunately, mate, on my accumulator, I'm picking the Patriots. Sorry, man.
That would be the smart. If I'm honest, that would be the smart thing to do, and given the Patriots, that it doesn't get any easier for really from there after that.
Well, you've got a minute, and you can have your minute. Right,
I'm having
to get this out.
Then we go to the Chargers,
now, and
as a franchise, we still haven't beaten them. This is the year, I'm telling you right now. You're hearing this here first. This is the year. We beat them this year. Then we go on to face the Lions, and I hope Calvin Johnson gets on the Madden, so he gets the Madden curse. That'll make that game a bit easier. Then we face Texans. We've got really hard four games. We start our season in week five, I'm telling you.
You got 10 seconds.
I'm done.
Excellent. Good. So I've heard this several times now. But yeah, it's not the easiest start. But, you know, that can be a good thing if you can get a couple of wins out of it.
Oh, if we start 10-2,
nice,
I'll be happy with that.
Yeah,
that'd be nice and happy.
The Texans one will be the one. If you get a result there, you'll feel pretty good if you're 3-1 or 2-2.
Oh, yeah.
But the Chargers, do you really think the Chargers are going to be that good next year?
No, that's why I said we'll beat them.
Yeah.
Who did they replace Vincent Jackson with?
Robert Meacham.
Yeah, no, pass. Rams Lions.
Well, the Lions should win. The Rams D was horrible last year. You could not imagine them stopping Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson. Stafford, I think, will be better. He didn't impress me greatly last year, but they've got some continuity there on offense, and they do have a lot of talented players. I doubt Best will. Well, if Best stays healthy for the whole year, don't know what's going on with Mikel LeSure. They could be okay. The O line is a worry, but we'll see. Whereas the Rams, I just don't see much coming from them next year. They need a lot of pieces. Now they'll be able to get them because
they're
of the RG3 trade, but yeah, Bradford struggled a lot last year. I think he's going to need to just get back on track, hope for a more stable line in front of him and some development with some receivers for the future. They don't really have anyone there. that you feel good about at receiver. So it'll be a tough one with the Lions. Then they face the Redskins. Who knows how that's even going to look. But the Redskins have a pretty good D. Bradford will have to get some protection for a win there, I'd feel. The Bears, can't think they'll do much there. And the Seahawks, I think, are a better side than some people think. So I think the Rams could end up having a horrible record next year.
Yeah,
they'll be better. I think Fisher will get them playing closer to teams, but I still think they're a long way from much.
Yeah, as I said, they're in build mode.
Yeah, I look at the roster. I mean, you've got Chris Long, Laurinaitis is solid, Sam Bradford. There's not a huge amount else there you feel great about. So I think it's going to be a long season in St. Louis, and we may end up seeing them at Wembley, whether we get tickets or not.
Right, let's go on to the Pontiac Pussies. They start off with the Rams, then they have the 49ers, Titans and the Vikings. I see 2-2.
Well, the Niners game is going to get a huge amount of press because of the whole handshake incident last year.
Yeah.
Oh, handbags by Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, so that'll be a good one. But I'd think the Niners at home should win that. Titans game could go either way, and you'll figure they got too much for the Vikings. I figure it's going to be
Titans as well.
Yeah, between them and the Bears, it could go. You know, I figure they'll both be chasing the Packers. It's going to be a tough division. They'll need to come out of that 3-1, you'd think.
Yeah.
To have a realistic shot, but their offense is really good. They just need to improve the D, because they'll put up points. I mean, Calvin Johnson isn't going to all of a sudden fall off a cliff. So as long as he's healthy, I think they're going to put up points on people. Yeah. So we'll see how things go there, but it's not a bad little start for them. They're probably fairly happy with that in Detroit. So who's up next after that?
We have the Redskins at the Saints. Well, this one's a clear obvious one.
Yeah, well, we don't exactly know what's going to be happening in Saints land. I assume Spagnuolo will be taking charge.
I still think a depleted Saints.
We're still Breeze there.
Having that more than enough room.
Yeah, you'd think so. I think as long as Breeze is happy, the offense will chug along, and that'll be too much for the Redskins. I mean, RG3 might end up being a good one, but the Saints, I don't see him being able to keep up with Drew Brees.
No, he's one of those quarterbacks who you don't fancy getting a shootout with.
Absolutely not.
No.
And we'll see how everyone seems to react to the Saints. Their D was not particularly good last year. They dealt with it. The Redskins will be more dynamic on offense, you'd figure, with RG3. And, you know, they've got him some speedy receivers on the outside. So there could be big plays waiting to happen at all times when they're playing. And they don't have the toughest early schedule. I mean, the Bengals won't be easy, but you'd favour them against the Rams. And the Bucks, who knows what you're going to get from them. So they might have a shot. I think people don't respect their D enough. I mean, last year they did win a few games with Rex Grossman. And RG3 I consider a massive upgrade, even as a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the part with the assassination attempts against the Saints, but afterwards he's got quite a nice break. So.
Yeah, so I don't know what to expect from the Redskins. The NFC East, we've discussed before, is easily for me the hardest division to predict from year to year, because you never know what you're going to get. Redskins have struggled, but who knows, RG3 could turn things around for him. He's that kind of player.
I reckon if Rob Griffin wins against the Saints, I reckon they're going to change the Washington logo. They'll give the Indian guy some dreads and then give him a little bit of stubble and the Washington RG3s.
We've already got the Jacksonville Maurice Jones Drews in your world. We don't need more one man teams.
Oh, there's something I can see.
Alright, so, well, the Saints are obviously going to be an interesting one. Well,
everyone's going to be out after them.
Yeah.
They'll get everyone's best games, as you've been saying.
I figure so. But either way, they're still a good side.
Week 4's the one.
Not exactly the defences to really get too scared about.
No, Redskins, Panthers.
The Packers
D was not great last year, but that'll be a heck of a game. But you can see them winning three of those games. The Panthers may be a tougher team than last year, but again, you'd go with the Saints all day. And the Chiefs, again, I do not see Castle keeping up with Breeze. So they could get off to a good start. They may need a good start, because once the schedule does get tough, is that when they will start to miss Sean Payton? Although, as I think Marshall Falk said on Total Access this week, he'll find a way to get messages there.
Yeah.
Falk was there with the Rams when Martz was suspended a couple of games. The messages will find a way to the team. So
just take a leaf out of Jose Mourinho's book from when he managed Chelsea.
Sneaking
a laundry bin.
If Mourinho actually did that, he's a true legend.
Oh, he did.
And he's a hero then.
Oh, well, this
that's
year,
dedication.
What real hard D's have they got to face up against? They've got the Giants, 49ers there,
Eagles, Broncos.
Yeah, it's just, I think it is a case of how the team responds. I don't rate the D. Will everyone else slack off without, you know, Peyton there? Will it all just fall apart? You never know, but I expect them to be good. I still think they're going to likely control the NFC South this year. I expect a down year from the Falcons, and who knows with the Bucks and Panthers, they're young teams, they could go either way. Then we get possibly one of the less interesting games of week one, when the Eagles face the Browns. Assuming we all think the Eagles will find a way to win in the dog pound.
Oh, of course they will.
Yeah, Vic in the dog pound. I wonder if the irony will be lost on anyone.
God, you know what? That's sad. I only just got that.
Oh,
God,
dear.
That's bad.
But you've got to figure they will want to get off to a good start after last season, where it was just a circus from day one.
Yeah.
And they never really recovered from the early season issues.
First four games, they haven't got it particularly easy.
No, I mean, all right, the Browns is a pleasant start, but after that you've got the Ravens, then they have to go out west to play the Cardinals, never easy going from one coast to the other, and then they have to play the Giants and then the Steelers. So they are going to have to come out playing well this season.
They're
going
to have
to
play out.
They could easily end up 2-3 out of that, and as I've said, that is going to be a competitive division. And
always is.
Those teams always have so much more pressure on them from the media than the others. You never know what will happen. And Vic, you don't know what Vic you're going to get from week in, week out. DeSean Jackson, again, inconsistent. I think they'll be good, though, offensively. You know they're going to put up some points. The D will improve.
And then you just got to feel bad for the Browns. I feel bad for Cleveland as it is.
That whole schedule, in general.
Awful.
Well, you got to remember, every game looks more difficult when you're the Browns.
Yeah, you've got the Eagles, the Bengals, Bills, Ravens, Giants, Bengals again.
Yeah, they could easily be 0-6. So,
do you know what? I'm actually struggling to see where they're going to get a win anywhere. So, I mean,
it could be the Colts, maybe.
I don't know. I think Andrew Luck will beat them.
I think that's the Colts' first win.
It's going to be tough for the Browns, let's face it. So I feel
Jeez.
Bad for
I
the
I
division they're
like
in. The Steelers, the Ravens and the Bengals are all a long way ahead of them. Right? The Browns' D is good, but it's hard to see that offense winning many games.
I can't see where they're going to get a win.
Yeah, well...
Really can't.
No, that is...
I always expect any team to get one.
0-16, they're going to suck for Matt Barkley next year.
Fall flat for Matt.
Fall flat for Matt.
That's the first.
Oh, we'll see how that goes, but yeah, no, I don't think they have any expectation this year, so at least there's no pressure in that regard.
Only on Colt McCoy, really.
Well, yeah, he's got this year to prove doubters wrong.
No, it depends what they give him. Will they give him something to give
work with? Yeah, you never know. Alright, so then we've got the Falcons and Chiefs.
I don't care about that game at all.
It's not the most like, they're both pretty good teams, but
nicely put.
I don't care.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're two pretty good teams, but there's not much glamour there. I quite like the Chiefs, like a couple of Chiefs players, but I'm, as I've said before, I expect some degree of drop off from the Falcons this year, starting to age. But they don't have the toughest start to the season. They could beat the Chiefs, The Broncos after could be a tough one, but the Chargers, the Panthers, you figure they could get two or three wins out of that, and if they do, then they'll be up there for the rest of the season, you'd figure. But I don't know, what do you guys think of the Falcons' prospects?
I just don't care. They're just not a team that excites me or even interests me in the slightest.
They're not the most glamorous team, but they are pretty efficient. I mean,
but the Browns excite me more than they do, and they're saying something.
No, they don't.
I see him.
You've got Roddy White, Julio Jones, Abraham's fun to watch on D.
I just see him as a playoff loss team. They're one of those. If you get them in the first round of the playoffs, then you're laughing, because they're just one of those teams that seem to just tire out.
I don't think it's so shat. I mean, they're just such a. I think they're just well coached. They execute well. Sometimes at playoff level, they just don't quite have enough. Their D is not that good. I think they scheme well. And offensively, Matt Ryan's still not a top guy. And you know, maybe they'll be more explosive this year with Julio Jones in his second year.
Maybe.
But I don't know. They do have a lot of older guys. Tony Gonzalez, Abraham. The O-line was poor last year, and you really noticed that.
Turner's production wasn't very...
No, he's kind of hit that wall.
As
a
team,
you
can already see they're dropping off, and... I just don't know with
the
Falcons.
They are hard to get excited about. But then the Chiefs, I think, will be fun to watch this year in some regards. They're going to go for a run game. I know that much, looking at the pickups of Eric Winston and Peyton Hillis. Jamal Charles will be back. Him and Hillis have the potential to be a real good combo. I don't really rate Castle, but I don't think he's going to cost them games. And defensively, they should be quite solid.
It's
not a tough division as well, so who knows.
I almost get the feeling that they're just going to limit what Castle does throwing wise next year if they've got that two punch combo of Hillis and
they'll run
Charles.
A lot. I really think this is going to be the bread and butter of that team. They've got Dwayne Bowe on the outside and not much else. Moiarki will be back, which is a big plus for him because he's quite a good blocker as well, but Jamal Charles adds so much explosion to that offense. It's not the easiest start to the schedule, no, but they'll pick up a lot of wins down the line. They could beat the Chargers. They could beat the Bills. Saints and Falcons will be tough for them. It'll be interesting. I want to see if some of those injured players can regain form. If they get David DeCastro, that'll be a really impressive looking O-line on paper. So
they picked up Eric Winston in the
him DeCastro next to him would be in it. Just really, really interesting to watch. They would maul guys.
Oh, be beastly.
Yeah,
here we go. 49ers Packers.
Yeah, that's obviously the game of the week. I cannot wait for this one. Niners, then I don't know what to expect, because they were so good last year. But offensively, they're a bit iffy. Defensively, it's tough to bring that level of D every year. I mean, the only teams you've seen doing it consistently for the last
Steelers.
3 or 4 years are the Steelers and the Ravens, who always seem to be about. Other teams fall off from time to time. I believe in this Niners D, but I don't believe in the offense.
Even though they've added a new running back in Jacobs. They added.
Yeah,
they've also added three receivers: Randy Moss, Mario Manningham.
Well, Randy Moss is a risk that could blow up in their face. Not certain it will, but Alex Smith didn't turn the ball over much last year. We've seen this happen a lot of times where a team rises up that one year where the quarterback doesn't turn it over. Well,
he
didn't
really
have great weapons. I still don't rate Crabtree. He's not done nearly enough.
He's just not a standout guy, and I don't ever see him being that standout guy.
He was in college, and you can see the ability there, but he's just so inconsistent. His hands just don't seem to be all there. But you figure they're going to make the playoffs with relative ease, because it's hard to see anyone else winning the division, let's face it.
Yep.
That'll be a heck of a game week one. I think you'll get a good idea of whether the Niners are one season wonder.
No, I think Alex Smith's going to have a bit of a chip on his shoulder after the Peyton Manning pursuit.
Well, he's got a D that really struggled last year, so he may have the opportunity to get off to a hot start. The Lions don't have a much better D after that, nor the Vikes, so never know, he could build some confidence. Expect the D to be dominant again, to be honest. There's too many players there that have been playing well for a couple of years now. I expect them to just carry on where they left off.
If you're going by D, they could potentially end up 6-7-0.
Yeah, you never know. If they're as good as last year, it's just always tough to predict.
Yeah.
I mean,
when
a team comes out
away
of nowhere like
from
that,
the season anyway, it's just tough to predict anyway. Anything can happen. It's,
well, we,
it's the great thing about the NFL.
We're still a few days away from the draft, so things could look very different afterwards.
And then when you look at Green Bay, it's hard to see any sort of...
if there will
there's
be
no, there's no real fixture in there that screams at you, oh, that's a dangerous one. Because
well,
they've just got the capability of beating anyone.
Yeah, you know,
and that
Aaron Rodgers is going to put up numbers week in, week
that's
out.
That's
may
an
have
easy
a couple
schedule.
Of down
it's actually
weeks.
It is, apart from the Giants on week 12. That's quite a nice schedule.
Well, it will come down
their
to
main,
the divisional games.
I think their main threats there are the 49ers, the Saints, the Texans, and when they played the Lions and the Giants. They're their threats.
Well, the Bears as well. I think the Bears are going to be very good this year. I really
maybe.
Do.
I think it might take the Bears a while to get going this year.
So, do you think Clay Matthews will get more production next year?
He's going to get some help in the draft, you'd figure. They just need the D-line to play better, because that had been a strength for a couple of years, and they weren't as good last year. Raji needs to step it up. They have not really replaced Cullen Jenkins. He was such a big part of what they did at Super Bowl year.
Then we've got the Battle of the Angry Birds. We've got the Seahawks against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Another game I really don't have much interest in.
It's a tough one to
but
get excited
talking
for.
Points.
They were two of the better teams toward the end of last season. Both teams were playing very, very solid D. Pete Carroll has totally changed around the roster in Seattle, and they've got some players from real small colleges in later rounds and got a lot out of them. They had Cam Chancellor last year, made the Pro Bowl at safety. So it's just offensively, yeah, it's hard to advertise Kevin Cobb versus Matt Flynn or Tavarius Jackson. I mean,
well, it might not even be Kevin Cobb next year starting. Maybe it could be Skelton.
Well, this is a huge game for both teams, because they're the two that you'd expect to be chasing the Niners. And yeah, the Cardinals are a quarterback away in some way. You know, their O-line is horrible, but we've seen, you know, there are quarterbacks in the league that can get by with poor O-line play. And you've got Larry Fitzgerald out there, so that's always a way of getting yards. I mean, he gets 1,300 yards with garbage year in, year out. They'll be interesting. But and at home, I think they'd have a bit too much for Seattle, who I don't see being the best team offensively next year. I think they're going to go defensive in the draft and continue building that route. And they've got a rough early start. If they lose to the Cardinals, I think they then lose to the Cowboys and Packers. And from then on, who knows how things go.
They could have it quite rough this year.
I think they'll be a middling sort of 8-8 team. They're still a young team with quarterback questions, so it's hard for me to predict much beyond that. But I think they're headed in the right direction. It's a fairly similar situation in Arizona, except, you know, they've got a bit more hope with Cobb just because he doesn't have much experience.
I think Seattle will just blind people with their ugly ass uniforms next year.
They are horrible. Truly, truly horrible. Some people probably love them, but you're wrong. In our humble opinion, you are wrong. Because they are. Why the green? The rest of it's alright. If it wasn't for the green, bad
it
times.
It just looks like someone. It looks like they've just sneezed on their uniforms.
Yeah.
Got horrible streaks of green. But anyway, the Crads after the Seahawks, they've got the Patriots, the Eagles, Dolphins, Rams, Bills, Vikings, Niners, Packers.
Yeah, that's not easy. That's why, as I said, this first game is huge for both teams. They've both got a tough lineup afterwards, and they're likely to be chasing the Niners all year, so can't afford to fall behind. I don't know what to expect from the Cardinals. If Cobb's a good player, I could see him maybe sneaking in as a wild card, because I thought their D was superb last year. Towards the end of the year, got a really good D line. Patrick Peterson started to play a lot better toward the end of the season. Got some good backers and safeties. They could sneak up on some people, but when you don't know what you're going to get from the quarterback position, it's tough. And their O line is horrible. I've seen nothing done that makes me feel better about that. Oh, then we get my favourite game of the year.
Panthers Bucks.
Well, it is when we win. I don't know why. The Panthers have always seemed to me like the most natural rivals to the Bucks, so I've always had a relatively strong dislike for them. And Cam Newton's not going to help with that. But I don't feel great about our start to the year. If we struggle
it's
defensively
nice.
Again, you know, we get a deal with Cam Newton, then Eli, and then the Cowboys, and then RG3. And if the Bucks can't tackle like last year, then they're going 0-4 into a bye week.
I don't think you can do much worse than what you've done last year.
They can't be worse. And they've done the right thing going for the disciplinarian coach, but
I mean, you love Gerald McCoy for at least the first six games before he gets injured again, so
wait,
fine there.
Right. Don't even talk about that. That would be horrid. We were horrible without him.
He'll probably get injured against the Saints.
Ugh. That would be the worst. But I expect the Bucks to be a lot better offensively. The D, they've still not made many moves for, and yeah, it'll be better just because I don't see how you can tackle so badly 2 years running.
You never know.
Yeah, it's hard to see the Buccaneers competing. It's quite a tough schedule. So,
is there any games that scream out to you easy victory?
Rams, Vikings. That's probably it.
Also, you're going to be picking high next year?
No, I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be up 6-10, 7-9 would actually feel like progress. But you know, I think they'll be around the 500 range. To be honest, I think things will pick up toward the end of the year. I think Freeman's going to improve. He'll get used to having some actual weapons around him for once. And the O-line should be really good, but yeah, if they can get off to a winning start against the Panthers, you never know, but yeah, it's hard to see a great season in Tampa. Whereas the Panthers, they get a lot of players back from injury. And you got to remember, a few years, right, they were horrible a couple of years ago to get Cam Newton, but before that, they were a consistently decent side. And they've rebuilt. Last year they had a ton of injuries, you know, and they lost John Beeson, their best defensive player, lost Thomas Davis, and they were horrible against the run. So as I said earlier, they'll be hoping their rookie defensive tackles combined with those two can shore up a lot of the problems they had last year. And offensively, they just got to hope Cam Newton reproduces what he did last season. If he improves on it, great. But they also have a rough start to the schedule. They lose to the Bucks, then they got the Saints, the Giants, and the Falcons, and that's.
Then they get a bit of a break against the Seahawks.
Well, yeah.
Before it's coming back and playing the Cowboys and the Bears.
Yeah, I think the NFC South will be tough this year. I only see the division winner coming out of it. The NFC East will probably be too tough for a couple of those teams. So we're getting toward the end of this now. Big old first week. Oh, what a game this will be.
Steelers Broncos. So many repercussions.
So many storylines for this one. I mean, vengeance for last year's playoff loss. No Tim Tebow though. Peyton Manning this time. Angry Peyton Manning.
Very
point to prove. I was so glad that the Bucks didn't have him week one. I don't like the idea of being Peyton Manning's first victim.
I don't want to be Tom Brady's victim either.
It's not quite the same.
He's still going to be angry.
The Steelers, they don't have it too bad to start the year.
No.
See, the Broncos game will be a big emotional one, but you'd see him beating the Jets, you'd see him beating the Raiders. They get that horrible early bye, and then they play the Eagles in the Battle of Pennsylvania. So
yeah.
It'll probably be a case of usual suspects in the AFC North.
Them, the Ravens up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you know what you're going to get offensively from them.
See, personally, I actually see a bit of a drop off by the Steelers this year.
I may say that.
Age and the fact they've had to release a lot for the cap room, no Hines Ward this year.
They've still managed to retain their best players.
I know, but I still see a bit of a drop off this year. Not a massive one, just a bit of one. And I think you will see it in some of the games where they're just going to struggle a lot.
They're going to have an unhappy Mike Wallace as well with his contract situation.
Apparently so. We'll see what happens there, but they'll sort something out.
Can you see anyone coming in and grabbing him?
Not from the sounds of things. I don't think it's going to happen. That doesn't change that I think it should, but what can you do? Steelers should be solid this year, though. I really just can't see him losing that many games. It's just one of those things.
Alright, and then we've got the Peyton Manning tour.
Yeah.
Where is he off to? Well,
they have a fairly tough looking schedule, but I think they will be the best team in the division almost by default because of Peyton Manning.
Well, the defence is near pretty much set.
Yep.
That's nice and ready for him. He's been teaching the hurry up offence to his new teammates.
I just think Von Miller and Doomerville will be enough for that D to make a lot of plays this season. Payton will put up points. He'll find a way to put up enough. If they played as well defensively as they did last year, I see him winning that division fairly easily. And they have a nice end to the schedule as well, so be hard to see him not making it. Can you really see the Raiders beating Peyton Manning twice? Or the Chargers?
No.
Or the Chiefs?
No, not really. Bengals Ravens.
Yeah, that's a real interesting
nice
one.
Nice Monday night game.
I think it's good because we'll get to see if the Bengals are for real fairly early in the year.
Yeah.
You pretty much know what you're going to get with the Ravens year in, year out. The questions are about Joe Flacco.
Oh, do you hear about him saying that he considers himself the best quarterback in the league?
Yeah, he has to think that. He doesn't actually believe it. He's not deluded.
I think he bloody is.
I think he is.
Come on.
They all have to say that.
You're in a league with Aaron Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Drew Brees.
Yeah, he knows. He knows. You have to believe it.
Bloody idiot. Anyway.
Yeah, they have a tough start to this season, the old Ravens.
Bengals, Eagles, Patriots, Browns.
Yeah,
I think the first three are quite tricky after that.
Well, they get a nice little spell after that. The pass rush they're going to have to deal with early on will be interesting with the Bengals and the Eagles playing them. It's hard to imagine the Ravens after last season dropping off too far. They haven't really lost anybody. They've got a bit younger in a couple of places. Yeah.
And three out of the four first games are primetime games.
Well, yeah, the Ravens are always a big draw these days. I'm looking forward to watching them next year.
Mainly because it could be Ray Lewis's last year.
Yeah, it's been that way for a while now.
Oh, I genuinely believe it this year.
He'll go until they cut him off, it seems. And then, let's have a look at the Bengals' schedule. I've said the Bengals could be the Bengals' biggest enemy, so I really do believe they've got a lot of talent on that roster. If they add to it, they could be a lot better than people think this year. But their schedule is not the easiest, but they have a nice start. Browns, Redskins, Jags after the Ravens game, then the Dolphins and Browns. You can recover if you mess up that first game and get yourself into a good position, possibly atop the division.
Yeah. See that happening.
Yeah, they have a rough end to the schedule. They play a lot of divisional games, tough ones, and last 2 weeks.
Steelers, Ravens. I'd like to see them try and top that division. I'm kind of getting bored of the old Ravens. The Steelers always with the top two.
Well, I think it'll be between the three of them. I don't see the Bengals having a huge drop off. You never know though. They had the odd flash year before. It's just a question of Andy Dalton, I suppose. If he continues developing, it could be really be onto something in Cincinnati.
Okay, and we get on to the last game for week one, Chargers Raiders.
That's an interesting one. You don't know what to expect from either team.
I don't know, will Philip Rivers recover?
Is Carson Palmer ever going to be the Carson Palmer of old?
A full new season without Al Davis.
Yeah, will all that speed finally come together for the Raiders? It could really go either way. The two teams I really don't know what to expect from, because Rivers, I look at his options now, and Ryan Matthews has been a bit hit and miss since they've drafted him. He's got Antonio Gates, who struggled to stay healthy, and I'm not all that confident in their receiver group.
Well, not now that Vincent Jackson's left in and it's been replaced.
Yeah, because
by Meacham.
Malcolm Floyd struggles to stay healthy. Meacham was never a number one option in New Orleans. Probably wasn't even the number two or three. So it'll be interesting. I believe in Rivers, but the O-line's going to be tough because they've lost Dealman and Marcus McNeil, who were possibly their two best linemen. So they need some help there. Defensively, they're not where they've been the last couple of years. They've got Sean Phillips and not much else. Eric Weddle is a good safety. And their early schedule, if they fall behind,
it's going to be hard to recover, because you've got to face off against some really good run games as well. You've got the Titans, Falcons and the Chiefs run games.
Yep. Have the Saints and Broncos after, so they could be in an early hole, which is a shame.
Yeah, they could quite easily go 0-6.
But that's what happens when you stick with North Turner for so many years, I think. And then a final little breakdown, the Oakland Raiders.
What a team to end up.
Well, I have no idea what to expect from this year, because there were games last year where they looked awesome and others where they looked terrible. So
they can't seem to find a happy medium. They're either absolutely on fire or they just stink.
Well, they need to keep Darren McFadden healthy for once, and they need to hope that the D can be consistent and that Palmer isn't the interception machine that he has shown he's got the potential to be the last couple of years. They don't exactly have the easiest start to a schedule, but you know that division is wide open. Any one of those teams can step up and, you know, could be the guy. So we'll see.
Yeah, what do you make of the first four games? Chargers, Fins, Steelers, Broncos.
Could easily get anything from 0-3 wins out of that, I'd figure.
So you can't really see him beating the Steelers, really.
Nah, not in all honesty, but I don't know what you're going to get from them if they're so hard to predict for. We'll see how it goes. Week one is going to be a good one. I cannot wait, personally. We've got the draft coming up. We'll have a much better idea after that. See where some big time players are going. We'll go with, just as a quick thing, what were you most looking forward to seeing in the draft this year?
Well, there's been some news, actually. Apparently, TV networks are going to stop, stop giving away the picks before they're announced on the podium. I'm really looking forward to that. I want to see if it's implemented properly.
It's not hard to implement, and if they do it, the experience of watching the draft will be so much better for it.
It's like, I hate the way they... I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but they take the excitement away from it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we know roughly the first three picks, but when it gets that Cleveland Browns pick, we want to see Roger Goodell walk up to the podium and not see the camera cut away to a pick who's on the phone already. We don't want to see that. It's so anticlimactic.
It is. It takes a lot of the drama out, but we'll see how it goes. Anything you're particularly looking forward to about this year's draft, Arnie?
If they do take out the whole sort of ruining it with the backstage thing, then it'll be that as a main. But it's just really those last few picks, sort of like from 10 onwards, that's where I think it's just going to be really interesting. That's I'm looking forward to see what teams do.
Yeah, how things shape up. There's usually a run on a position. I think the D-line might be that in that sort of range.
Yeah, it seems to be that sort of position.
Well, I'm looking forward to the inevitable crazy trade or reach, because there's always one that no one sees coming, and I always love that moment where you're just like so shocked. It's like, wow, the Alualu, the Jake Locker pick. So many crazy ones. I can't wait for the first one.
Yeah.
It's when you know the draft is hit. So hopefully you guys will tune in for that. We'll probably be up next weekend, but we'll be recording our reactions live, so it could be an interesting one in that regard. Anyone got any final sort of things to add before we finish this?
Oh, just interesting. Does anyone have a sort of a pre-draft ritual? Just leading up, as you're tuning in, getting ready for the draft, does anyone have a ritual? Do you have a particular item of clothing that you want to wear? Is there something that you have with you? I'm just intrigued.
Yeah,
just
there's probably some crazy ones out there. It'd be good to get a couple in.
Yeah.
Alright, cool. So have a great week, guys. Enjoy the draft. We know we will. And check us out next week. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.